Welcome guys, it's a special episode of the Indie Corner this week. All you're going to hear from me is just this little intro. What we've got this week is Matt Clarkson. He's coming on with an interview of his own. Matt Clarkson, of course, he's been a big part of the IndieCorner.com for quite a while now, providing loads and loads of interviews for you all to read. But, you know, this time he's actually conducting an interview over Skype with US independent wrestling sensation Leva Bates. She's already wrestled in NXT as well for the WWE. So yeah, she's got a bit of a story to tell. So yeah, sit back and enjoy this, and hopefully we'll be back later on this week with a full show of the Indie Corner. So stay tuned for that. So like I say guys, enjoy the interview.
Right, welcome to the first of hopefully many audio interviews for myself, and my first guest is Leva Bates, aka Blue Pants. For those in the UK who don't know who you are, could you properly introduce yourself?
I think you did a pretty good job, but yeah, well, if you're listening to this, you probably know I wrestle, and I wrestle for a lot of different companies, Shine, Shimmer, WSU, High Spots, everywhere, and you might have seen me on NXT as Blue Pants. If you haven't seen that, check it out on the network or Hulu. I've done that several times now, so it's, you know, what I do. I cosplay, I have my own geek YouTube show where me and my co-host talk and play and do everything geeky and talk about geeky things. So definitely check that out. But yeah, it's kind of what I do. What you see is really me.
Definitely, yeah. Next question is, you were trained at the Team 3D Academy. What was that like, and what were the differences in teaching between Bubba and Devon? You know, what were they different in what they did, or?
Actually, yeah, I met Devon at my very first school at FXC. It was him, Matt Bentley, and AJ Gallant. And he decided to go off on his own and have his own school with Bubba, which was Team 3D Academy. And obviously I went with Devon and trained there. It was a really amazing experience because they each bring so many different things to the table. You know, Bubba's father-in-law at the time, they still work together. He is a personal trainer. He trained the first set of American Gladiators. He trains boxers. He trains, you know, he's a world-renowned arm wrestling champion.
I didn't know that, if I'm honest, but there you go.
Yeah, so you have a personal trainer at the school with you, working with you constantly, getting you into shape, you know, inside and outside the ring.
Yeah.
And then you have Devon, who is mostly the mat specialist, the move. He teaches you the moves, chain wrestling, mat work, all of that good stuff. And then, you know, I mean, Bubba does too, but that's mostly Devon's specialty. And then Bubba, when you get to him, you work on character promos and psychology and creation of a match, storytelling aspect of it all.
So it's like a mixture of the two. Then the mixture of the two obviously made you who you are now. So obviously the mixture of the two is the perfect combination.
Yeah, it pretty much is. You get a well-rounded education there because they teach you, they like to say, old school rules with new school tools. They love saying that. So, and it really is true because, you know, they they were brought up old school, but you have to adapt, change, grow with the times. So it's a very, very cool and interesting blend they bring to the school, because they've worked everywhere. They can teach you the WWE style. They can teach you what to expect at TNA. They can teach you what it's like to wrestle over in Japan. They can teach you the Lucha Libre style because they've worked, you know, in Mexico.
They've been there and they've done
that,
haven't
they? They've been everywhere.
Really. They've been in the business that long. They know what they're doing at the end of the day.
Exactly. And they can they'll teach you what makes a good tag team and what doesn't make a good tag team. They'll teach you, you know. They don't really have hardcore classes, but they do teach you how to protect yourself in certain things. So I mean, even in just regular moves, how to protect yourself. But they don't do anything stupid. They teach you, like, here's, you know, if you have to do this, here's a good way of doing it. So it's just
they don't teach how to jump off, like, scaffolding, things like that.
Yeah, which actually I did not too long ago. So I guess, you know, following, you know, my two dad's footsteps.
Next question is, where did you have your first pro match, and who was it against? Do you remember much about it yourself? Or?
It was in Orlando. I want to say it was for Dynamite Championship Wrestling, I think. I want to say it's definitely in DCW. It was against, actually, another fellow student I was training with. Her name is Mimi Marie. She no longer wrestles anymore. But we were training together, and they wanted to put us, since we had trained so much together, they wanted to put us in a match together. So it was fun. I wasn't full-blown cosplay at the time. I was very heavily influenced. So I came out with a Vincent Valentine plushie, and I matched him. But it wasn't his full outfit. It was just the same colors. So.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I wasn't ballsy enough to go full-blown cosplay my first time, because I didn't know, they may not like it, the promoter, you know, because I didn't really know how much freedom you really have in the independent scene. And I was like, oh, I don't want to, you know, step on anyone's toes or anyone, you know, be like, that's stupid, you know, because
you don't want to push it too much on your first time at the end of
exactly.
the day. You want to be pushed,
like,
again, don't you? Yeah.
All coming out with, like, you know, this crazy-ass costume. So it was cute. I actually really enjoyed that because I love Vincent Valentine, so. it was fun. It was a fun little cute match. I don't really remember too much about it. I remember it went really well for a first match for both of us, because it was both of our first matches. So that's kind of crazy. Normally, when it's your first match, you go in there with someone who's been in the business for a while, but for this time, they're like, well, you guys, you know, we practice a lot. We practice for this show a lot, so that's probably another reason why they're like, all right, you two can do it, because you're very comfortable with each other. So it was fun, though. It's, God, forever ago, so I'm trying to remember it. I think I won. I'm not sure.
I'd have to check out. I don't know myself without actually checking online. I couldn't tell you. No footage exists of it then. Nobody was recording it. No family were recording it, seeing as it being your first match or anything then.
No, I don't really live near my family. We're in several states away. So, definitely no family recording. There might be a recording of it somewhere. I did not record it.
Would you want to watch it back?
I don't know. I mean, probably because, you know, the nostalgia of it, but I know I'd be like, oh, what was I doing?
Yeah, you'd be putting out. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I honestly have no idea. I'm sure the company recorded it, maybe. I don't. You know what? I don't know. Again, I get hit in the head a lot, so I don't. I mean, I remember it, but I don't remember it.
Right, next question. You had a few matches, like, in various, indie promotions around the area, and then you went into TNA, like, big match, really, with Awesome Kong. What was that like, considering she's, at that point, she'd already been to Japan, so she's obviously quite the skilled wrestler?
and then you're coming in as relatively new. What was that like?
I was absolutely terrified.
It wouldn't be.
Not even really of her. I was just terrified because it was the first big opportunity I was ever, you know, given. So I didn't want to mess up. I didn't want to, you know, make Bubba or Devon look, you know, bad. And I wanted to look good, and I was trying to impress them, you know. So it was a lot of pressure. They actually called me back twice for that. The first time, it was actually Mimi got to go the first day. They picked her to do it first, and then I was the second one. So by the time I went the second day, a lot of the nerves have calmed down because I saw what, you know, all right, I know how to work this. I know what to expect now. I felt kind of terrified because she was, like, really beating us up. So she really beat up Mimi, and I'm like, woo, I'm about to take that. And mine was even worse, but but I always prided myself on it. I'm a pretty tough cookie. I can take one hell of a beating. So, but it was you know, when I first, it was terrifying at first, but once I did it, it was pretty exhilarating. And it went really well. That was actually how I lost part of my hearing, though. It was an accident. I don't actually blame anyone at all. I was covering up, and she was laying, you know, her punches in. And Rudy Charles was our ref. And we were outside the ring because I had to run out of the ring, grab the guardrail, you know, grab the grating on the floor, you know, struggle. She pulls me back to the ring and then beats me a little bit and throws me in the ring. That was what was supposed to happen. The ref was yelling, hey, gotta get it back in the ring, gotta get back in the ring. She stopped hitting me. And when she stopped hitting me, it felt like an eternity. So I don't know if you've actually ever really been hit before. Hitting? What is that word?
It's definitely hit. It's not hitting.
that's the Kentucky in me coming out, guys. I don't know if you've ever actually really been hit a lot and hard before. But when it stops, you're like, oh, crap, what happened? What happened? Did we mess up? What's going on? So I just went to look, through my arms. And I put my arms down for half a second, and it was just the same time she threw a punch, caught me right in the temple. And that actually moved all of my inner bones in my inner ear over. I didn't know that at the time until I went to the doctor. But it knocked me out for a second, and I was like, wait, where am I? TNA, okay, I know what I'm doing. Boom. And we finished it. You know, she grabbed me, threw me in the ring, and I was like, okay, I know what's going on. And I was back, but like, for weeks, I just couldn't hear right, and the ringing in my ear was really bad, and I didn't know what was going on, and I come to find out that had shifted all of my inner ear bones, whatever they're called, the hammer, anvil, whatever it else. But, you know, wrestling's dangerous, guys. But, so it was an awesome experience, but also it kind of changed me forever, too. I had to learn how to wrestle with one ear. And it was kind of cool because I learned that, you know, Stone Cold had a hearing problem. That's where what came about. That's why what came about, because he would be like, what? And just that's how it happened. So that was, he's a complete inspiration to me because there's a lot of wrestlers. You'd be surprised how many wrestlers actually either are half deaf or have bad hearing or something like that, or always have tinnitus because of, you know, blows to the head and, you know, just accidents.
It's not surprising. I mean, I dare say many in Japan where it's a bit more like the strong style, I dare say a lot of them are probably half deaf.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's also kind of when you find out other people, like, oh, wow, you're half deaf too? I forget who it is. Every time I wrestle someone, I'm like, oh, yeah, don't forget I'm half deaf. She's like, oh, I'm half deaf too. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, we're a great pair. So who is that? Oh, God. Oh, I don't remember right now. But it's just, yeah. So it's just inspiring to see that, you know, so many of us have the same inflection. So and I totally got off the rails on this question. I am so sorry.
No, not a problem. Not a problem. Next is you debuted in like Shimmer in 2009. What was it like wrestling, you know, for Shimmer, you know, being the company which has always brought in the top female talent? It's always happened since its inception.
It was, when I first got there, I was, still always am, but on cloud nine, because that was a major goal of mine. That was a major, like, this is something I have to be doing. So when Lexi and Malaya and Rain and everyone kind of stepped up, I was like, no, you should definitely look at Levi. You should definitely bring her in. It was an amazing opportunity, and I was very, very, very thankful for it. And then pretty much, I haven't looked back. it's my first DVD match was with Malaya, who actually asked for it. She's like, I want to be our first match. So that just was so humbling for me because, Malaya really took me under her wing. Lexi really took me under her wing. Rain really took me under her wing. And I just, really owe a lot to my early career to them. And then from there, that's when I got to wrestle Alice in Danger, who also was like, all right, this is cool. You and I, let's do this. And then, not long after that, Regeneration X was born. So,
right.
So it was just... It's such an amazing company because you get to work with talent from all over the world, from all over the country, all over. Talent you may not normally ever get to work. I never met Alice in Danger until Shimmer, and the fact that I had the chance to work with her, and then that led to us being a tag team, and even more so becoming, terribly close friends, like the best of friends, family. She's family to me. And it's just you owe a lot to Shimmer for that. Some of the friendships and family you meet through there, lasts with you forever. Like I always call Kelly Skater my sister, because when we first started talking, we realized we had so much in common, and it was just a joke. Like I'm like, are we sisters? Do we have like different dads? That's what's going on. So she always calls me her sister from another mister, always. Even when she, lines me or boxes me, she's like, hey, sis, what's going on? Like, always. It's always, hey, sis. So it's just, Shimmer really is kind of a family reunion, so to speak.
It's all quite a sisterhood, without sounding cliche, but it's what it is, isn't it, really, there, it seems.
It really is. I mean, it's not a cliche at all.
It's
just truth.
Right. And next question is, whilst you're in Shimmer, you've faced, as you've already mentioned, Malaya, Allison, Maya Yim, the Night Dynasty, obviously Soraya and Brittany, and lots more. I mean, is there any match you've had in Shimmer that you're particularly fond of, or is like a favourite, or...
Oh, Lord, there's so many. One of my most recent favorites was when I faced Marty Bell, and I was dressed as Pee Wee Herman. That might be the most comic, most silly, most fun match I think I've ever done in my life. Because we had, today's secret word is three. So can you imagine how crazy that got? Because every time, she was choking me, the ref would count, get her off the ropes, one, two, three, everyone in the audience, including me, and everyone would go, ah! And then, spoiler alert, when I won the match, of course, one, two, three, and the crowd went nuts. And for the rest of this show, every time someone said three, the crowd continued to do it, even in other matches. So it was just absolutely bonkers, and it was so much fun.
Special moment then, really.
It really was, because, I did the tequila dance into a dive. I mean, come on, how much fun is that?
It definitely sounds it. I can't say I've seen it yet myself, but it's definitely something that's
out now. I think the DVD is about to come out, or maybe it has just come out. I'm not really sure. I'm terrible with, because there's so many Shimmers, I'm terrible with numbers. Like, that was volume something.
I think it's on, I think 71 is the latest one out. I might be incorrect there. I think it's 71. I might be wrong.
Another one of my favorite... God, they have so many good matches. I want to say another one of my favorites is when we got to wrestle. It was Regeneration X versus Sarah Del Rey and Courtney Rush. That was a lot of fun because I remember just having so much fun with Courtney. And, you know, it was one of, I think that might have been, I don't know if it was her last time, but it might have been the last time Sarah was in Shimmer. So that was really cool to be a part of that. I really loved our feud with the Night Dynasty. That was a lot of fun. Working with Saray and Brittany Knight were just such a pleasure. I love wrestling them a lot.
It's definitely a different experience, the British style compared to the American style. Definitely.
It really is, and I love it. Like, every time I see Saraya, she's like, all right, Leva, we're going to work on this, and I have a new idea for you, and all right, I know you want to work, so I'm going to teach you something that's very Johnny Saint-like. I'm like, ah! You know, that's usually my reaction. So she actually was in town two weeks ago, and she had a class, and I went just because, you know, I'm always eager to learn. And it was a pure British style class. It was a lot of fun. It was so much fun. So I was really glad she did that seminar. I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to come. She was like, well, I thought about you when we decided to do it. She was like, I know you're big into this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I am a little bit. So I definitely went. It was a lot of fun. I felt like it just... Because you never stop learning, you know? Like, if you become complacent, you're not going to get any better. So just never stop growing, never stop learning. So especially if it's different styles and different, you know, things you can learn, why limit yourself?
Because you can always incorporate it into what you already know anyway.
Exactly.
You debuted in WSU in 2011. What was the attraction of WSU at the time?
I just actually wanted to branch out to the Northeast because I hadn't at the time done a lot up in the North at all, like New York or New Jersey or anything in that area. So I really, really wanted to do that. I think I might have done one show prior to that in New Jersey. So it was Indie Girls, I do believe. I don't know. The timing's all blurry. Maybe I did WSU right before Indie Girls. I don't really remember. but I just wanted to branch out. It had it seemed a little bit more edgier than some of the other companies, and I wanted to be a part of that. I just wanted to honestly, like I said, spread my wings and to learn and to do something a little different, you know. So I went there. And I really enjoyed it. The crowds were completely different. They weren't sure what to make of me at first because they're like, "Wait, what is the girl? Why is she dressed up like Iron Man?" I don't get it. That was, I think, the first time I was there. I did the Iron Man outfit, and then the second time might have been the Jedi. And so by the time like the third show came around, I was in my Black Widow. They're like, "All right, we got you. This is awesome." You know, they got it. But it was a lot of fun. I actually really enjoyed. I still enjoy it because now, you know, I'm actually planning on being at the next WSU, which I want to say is May 9th, May 10th. I have to look at the calendar, but it's in my calendar. So I just look at it like, okay, yeah, I'm going up there that day. All right, cool. but you know, I just really enjoy it. It's you get to work different people. A lot of the girls I either don't get to see at Shine or don't get to see at Shimmer, and it's just it's really nice. I mean, you have Rick Cataldo, the boy diva, who, you know, I haven't got to be on any other shows with him, and he's amazing to work with. I just love him. He's so fabulous. So having to work something like WSU opens up other doors and opens up different, you know, people in your life, and it's a lot of fun. And then again, it's different flavor, different style. So
it's got a very hardcore following, obviously, now with like DJ Hyde promoting it as well as on the back of CZW shows. It's
yeah, and we got to do it in the old ECW arena last time, the last show.
Yeah.
So I came out as a Dudley, and that was amazing because I had to. They were like, oh, we're returning to ECW arena, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I know what I'm doing. And of course, I text pictures to Bubba and Dave on it. They both were like, yes, love it. Because I'm a classic ECW. I didn't go WWE or TNA. I definitely went, like, I'm in the ECW arena. I'm doing the tie-dye. So,
yeah, you've got to do the original, haven't you?
The tie-dye, the overalls, the tape glasses. So it was a lot of fun. I added a lot of their moveset to my match as like a little shout out to them. So it was a lot of fun. So it's again, if I wasn't working for WSU, I would not have gotten the opportunity to do that. And it was something I've always wanted to do for the longest time. I've always joked around. It's like I want to be the female Dudley. I want to be a female Dudley. And finally, I got the opportunity. I'm like, I'm a female Dudley now. What's up?
that was basically your tribute, basically.
Oh, absolutely.
Brilliant. A few times in your career, you faced Kimberly. Have you seen the footage of that match she had with Chris Dickinson?
Pretty
controversial.
Is that the one where she hit the turnbuckle?
Yes.
I saw that clip. I didn't see the match, but I saw the clip of that.
What's your take on it? Because a lot of people were, I remember like going on online like the day after, and a lot of people were quite shocked and appalled. Is basically the opinion that most people had. What's your take on it?
Well, my thing is she's a big girl. We're all allowed to have our choices and then to make them whether you agree or not with it. I'm never going to chastise someone to say, I don't think, you shouldn't have done that, blah, blah, blah. Do I agree with it? I don't know. I think there's a time and place for things, and sometimes to do things for pure shock value without anything really behind it is kind of a waste. A little bit of a waste.
I think
there could have been more of a build-up to that. If you want to do that to show, hey, I'm tough, I can take it from the boys just as well as I can give it,
yeah.
I think that could have been more of a build-up to that. Like, people are so eager to, hey, I got hurt, I'm going to do this crazy spot. But it means so much more when you pace yourself, when you build up to it, when it's part of a story, when it's all...
You've got to set the scene before you do, like a big blow-off to something at the end of the day, haven't you? And there wasn't, it just happened.
Exactly. I think it was a little careless, but, again, it's wrestling. There's all moments. Like, I've seen people get hurt walking into a ring, like legit tripping on a board in the ring. in this business, anything can happen. Sometimes when you do the craziest stuff, like dive off a balcony, you're absolutely fine. But then you can, like, legit trip on a board and sprain something. This business, you got to, expect that there will be injuries, there will be repercussions, and there will be, hardships. So the thing is, I'm not upset with her. I'm not mad at her. I want her to be safe. I worry. I think since then she's not really calmed down, but I think she's focused more on like the pure wrestlingness of it. And I can see that she's really focusing on the tags. I mean, if you look, they have 3 tag belts now. Well, actually, she has 3 tag belts now. One at WSU with Antisocial, and then her and Cherry Bomb have Shine and Shimmer. So I think now she's really like, okay, I don't need to do the crazy stuff to be special. I'm special because I am special. You know what I mean? Like, I'm special because I'm a wrestler. I'm you know what I mean? Like, I'm part of the Kimber Bombs. And And that's what people want to see, you know?
Yeah. I mean, after seeing it in Chikara, you know, I didn't think there was any need for her to have done something like that, really. It just didn't really fit her, I personally.
You know, I mean, again, I'm never going to question anyone or chastise anyone. I mean, I've dove off a balcony. I've dove off the top of a cage that was being held together by people. So I'm not one to judge anyone at all.
Yeah.
I do believe there's a time and place for hardcore, and I do believe there's a time and place for crazy, death-defying spots. But again, you got to pick and choose it. If you do it every time, if you're like, hey, I'm fighting this guy, and he's beating the crap out of me every time, it loses value. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta pick and choose your moment and know when to have your moments. That's the key. Know when you have these moments and pick them correctly. I'm not gonna
lie. You're never going to top it, though, are you? If you keep doing it, you're never going to top that moment. Anyway, you're only going to go down. You're not going to go back up, are you? Really?
It's pick and choose your moments. Like, I've been, since Shine 1, I saw the venue and I saw the balcony, and I'm like, I want to do a dive. I haven't had the time, haven't had the right place, haven't had the right people to do it with. Plus, I've been pulling teeth to get the okay from, management, but getting building walls and stuff. But I finally found that right moment and that right time, and it just worked. You know, like, if I would have done it Shine 3, it probably wouldn't have meant as much. You know what I mean? So that's a good example, I think, of picking and choosing your moments. But yeah, I'll never chastise anyone for doing something. I mean, there's always moments for stuff like this. There's reasons for color. There's reasons for, you know, hardcore. There's reasons for dives. There's reasons for a lot of things. Just make sure you know when to do it.
Yeah.
Be safe about it. And know when you're in there. That's one thing I kind of was worried about. Know when you're in there, we have each other's lives. When you're wrestling someone, you have their lives in your hands. You are responsible. Whereas that they are responsible for your life, because you're saying, okay, I trust you. I trust you to throw me, you know? You know? So it's when you just got to know when you're doing stuff like that. Like, either you have to have a massive amount of trust, or you need to maybe say, you know what, now is not the time.
Yeah. I think we'll go on to the next question. You faced Santana Garrett, who is, you know, just currently the NWA champion. Is competing for the NWA title something you'd like to do, or?
Sure. Actually, it's a really funny story about that. I was booked against Barbie Hayden, I want to say it was in February, for the NWA title. And Barbie lost it the week before to Santana. Oh. So I was flying to Texas for a non-title match now. I didn't mind it because it was still – it's a company I love working for, Inspire. They're such a great company, Inspire Pro Wrestling. They're a great company to work for. They're just great guys running it. So they were like, we're really sorry about that. I'm like, no, I don't – I've never been a person that's like, oh, belt. I have to have this belt, or I have to wrestle for this belt. I mean, if I get to wrestle for a belt, if I get to have a belt, that's awesome. But I'm not concerned about it, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I just want to wrestle Barbie. I haven't had a chance to do a one-on-one match with Barbie Hayden. So I was really excited about that. I love working Santana. I remember – her and I, for the longest time, because we were both in Florida and always getting booked with each other in every little show. So her and I, we can go, because we've wrestled so much with each other. We know each other very well.
Yeah.
So it's very comfortable with each other. So I would love to wrestle her again anytime. So.
You're known as Blue Pants in NXT. How did that opportunity come about? And you're quite the fan favorite there. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. It's a really an amazing, crazy experience. I got a call. I don't even remember the first one was, but they called me. It's like, hey, would you like to wrestle for NXT tonight? tonight? Yes, I'm on my way. And I wasn't sure what to bring, so I packed everything I own. Well, not everything, because I own a lot of costumes, but I packed a lot of things. And one of them was the X-Men gear I had, because it's very TV-friendly.
Yeah.
I always call that, like, I have that one and another one that I wore from a dark match of TNA is my two TV gear. I have a couple other ones. I have to adjust my Iron Man one, because it's very gearish. But right. I need to fix it before I can really call it my TV gear anymore, because I've lost a lot of weight since then. But anyway, I'm getting off track. But I packed a lot of things. And the blue pants thing came about because they're like, all right, Leva, change and get to the ring so, you know, you can roll around and, you know, we can work with you. I'm like, okay. I decided instead of wearing shorts, I want to just throw pants on to roll around in. You know, I don't know. For whatever reason, I did. So I threw on that gear, just the bottoms of the gear. And then I had, like, I think an MC Chris t-shirt on. Because, you know, random. And I ran out, and I was wearing the blue pants. And Enzo and Cass were going over the promo, and they were just, instead of me just being out there waiting, they were going to have her match right after their tag match, which means they were going to have to call me out. And normally when you're enhancement talent, you don't really get called anything except for a local competitor, I think is what they're calling us now. The local competitor. So they want to say, all right, well, welcome, local competitor. So as a joke, I want to say it was Enzo, if it had been cast, but I want to say it's Enzo. I was like, hey, can we call her? Like, hey, oh, the girl in the blue pants. And Sarah Del Rey was right next to me. And, like, everyone laughed, including me. I thought it was hilarious. She goes, well, I guess you're wearing those blue pants tonight. I'm like, I'm all in. I'm all in. Please, dude, please call me the girl with the blue pants. And then when he did that, the crowd picked up on it, and they were like, blue pants, blue pants, blue pants, and then thus the name Blue Pants was born. And that's how it happened. It's crazy. I can't even explain. Like, you couldn't plan that. That just happened, you know? And, you know, I was just me being, you know, geeky, fun, happy-go-lucky, excited to be there, Leva, and I think the crowd just kind of connected with that. Because I like to say, a lot of those girls, you know, they are superstars, they are divas, and I like to say I'm kind of not a regular person, but I think the geek in all of us can relate to that. Like, oh, she's a geek too. We're both geeks. Yeah, because, I mean, let's face it, and we all know we are, a lot of wrestling fans, because I'm a wrestling fan too, we're all kind of geeky. We love comic books, we're geeky over something, whether it's video games, whatever. We have our things we're geeky about. And I think
you had the connection with the crowd just with being blue pants. That was just the connection you.
Yeah, and I think they saw that, like, hey, she's kind of like me. Yeah, you know, let's go, blue pants girl, let's go. And then I think that's why it just kind of took off, because people connected with that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Next question, I'm going to say. Are you aware of what the scene is like in the UK at the minute? And is the UK somewhere you would like to tour in the future?
Absolutely. I'm actually trying to work on that right now as we speak. I would love to again, especially with having the class, the workshop with Soraya and working with her. And just you getting to wrestle her the last time she was here. She was like, we got to get you over. And I'm like, I'm ready. I got my passport. When? I'm available pretty much either end of May on, so let's go. So, I mean, obviously, just have a few dates we have to work out, but I told her I'm ready. So, I'm ready to come over. I was in Switzerland about this time last year, and it was such an amazing experience. I loved Europe. I loved being over there. It was such a short trip, too, but I just cram so much sightseeing, wrestling, and fun in. And
I
there was not a moment where I'm like, oh, you know, like, I had a blast every second I was over there. So I'm ready to do that again. And the thing is, I have so many friends over in the UK right now with Soraya and Rhea, just so many people that I've connected with that I would love to be there. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to making the trip over the pond.
So, are you saying we can expect to see you in Bellatrix? Is that what you're saying in a roundabout way?
I don't know. Honestly, we're just trying to get me anywhere. Hi, guys. Hi, people running wrestling promotions in UK. I have a passport, and I'm ready. So, if you want some blue pants or crazy purgy stuff or fun cosplay with some wrestling action, look me up.
You can't be any blunter than that, no.
Told you I'm ridiculous.
Two of your previous opponents, Mayim and Marty Bell, have just signed with TNA. You know, I presume it's a long-term deal. Is something like that, like a long-term deal with NXT, is that something that you would possibly consider? Maybe an exclusive deal, or maybe something like in along those sort of lines?
Honestly, anything's possible. I'm very, very proud and happy for both of them. No two people deserve it more than them. I know Mia Yim, who is also my tag partner as the Lucha Sisters. I know she works her butt off. She works all the time. She works on her craft. She works on her body. She works on everything. And she keeps wanting to learn. Like, with me, she's been like, hey, can you help me out with promos? Help me out with talking. And her and I, like, because I do a lot of, I graduated with theater, emphasis acting, and then, you know, my daytime job, I'm a performer outside of wrestling. I do in a lot of shows and stuff at Universal Studios as an actor. So I started actually working with her, doing like improv games and acting things with her to try to get her out of her shell a little bit. And I think that really has helped her a lot. And she's helped me out so much with just wrestling, you know, like, because she's been all over the world. She's been to Japan several times. She's been everywhere. So she's really taught me a lot. So I don't know why I'm going off on this tangent.
It's fine.
But it's my sister. So, you know, again, I have a lot of sisters in this business. I don't know if you even noticed that, but she's my Lucha sister. But, yeah, I'm so proud of her. And then Marty is one of the coolest, nicest, most genuine people I have ever met. And I have not liked a match with her. Every time we've wrestled each other, I've always come and left saying that match was so much fun. So much fun. She does the bad guy so well. And she's so fun. So I'm very, very proud of both of them and very happy and look so forward to see what they're going to do. As for me, I'm going to focus on, you know, what I have and what I'm doing. I'm not, you know, never say never. I'm always, anything can happen. Anything can happen in this business. Anything. So that's all I want to say.
Fair enough. I mean, you mentioned Japan there. Is that somewhere you would like to tour? Like in, also Stardom is probably like the place to go at the minute. Is that something that would interest you?
Oh, I would love to do that. The only thing is, because it's for so long. A lot of times when they bring girls over, it's for 3 months, and it's really hard for me to get away. Just because I do have a full time performing job. The thing is, it's a job that I get paid to play. I dance, I do stunts, I act. It's really hard because I'm contracted here as well to get away for that long. So it's a matter of, I've actually been in talks with them off and on, trying to figure out if there is a way for me to either find the 3 months to take off, or if there's a way of making that maybe a month, month and a half, maybe 2 months. So, again, I would love to go to Japan. Honestly, I just wanted to go to Japan to play. Holy crap. I think if I ever went to Japan, I'd lose my mind. Think about it. Like, oh, my God. It's the mecca of video games and anime and all sorts of crazy, crazy technology and cute-ish crap cartoons and Hawaii and everything. I think I'll lose my mind if I actually went over there. Like, I just know I would. So, I mean, one day I'll be there. I don't know how, what capacity, or where, or who, but I'll be there.
At some stage, you'll get to it.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, you're a dancer, you're a performer, you do stunts, you're a host of your own, like, geeky show, and obviously you wrestle, obviously. I mean, how do you fit it all in? I mean, that's quite a lot to fit in someone's schedule, really. How do you do it?
I don't sleep. Really, I don't. I don't sleep, and I live on Monster a lot. It's just balancing. 'Cause of Universal, I'm gonna double check it now. Okay, sorry. Because we do shows, you have breaks between your shows. I get a lot of my work, like either writing a promo or emailing or talking with promoters or we're doing interviews, like now, because I'm actually doing that between shows. I do a lot of my stuff between the shows. So I'll do a show, get back, work on whatever, and then go do another show, come back. A lot of times I fit my workout in there. This place is amazing. They have a gym on site for the employees. So I get my workout in between shows every day. So actually I usually take two breaks and get everything done, like lifting one break and cardio the next break. So that's how it's all about time management, you know? You have to, that's why like a lot of times like, I haven't read that comic yet or I haven't seen that show because it really is time management, okay? So as soon as I'm done with here, I gotta go start working on my costume, okay? When I get that piece for the costume, now I have to make this phone call, see when we can set up filming for the promo I have to do for Shine. You know, like, I'm always constantly going, always constantly working on something. I mean, even when you think I'm not doing something, I am doing something. I really am.
Right. So what are your plans for the rest of this year, the remainder of the year? What's in store, or are you just taking it as it comes, really?
That's how I live my life. Take it as it comes. Fly by the seat of my pants.
Your blue pants.
Coming up, definitely in the near future, I have WSU and Shine coming up. So I'm getting kind of geeked up and pumped up for that, working on a few things for that. As I said, I'm working on trying to get myself overseas somehow. I'm actually just about to start rehearsals for a show. I'm learning here that's non-wrestling related. It's a stunt show. Rehearsals start actually tomorrow, not next week. It's tomorrow they start. Okay. So I got that going on for next couple weeks, just pure rehearsals nonstop. It's a lot of, you know, go, and a lot of times I don't even have to think about, I don't think about what's next. I just, okay, cool, rehearsals start tomorrow. Okay, cool, the show's in a week. I should probably get my promo done. You know, like, that's kind of how I work things, so.
The final question, really, is there anything else you'd like to say, add, or plug? You know, is there anything you just want to finish off with at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I mentioned, I have my own geek YouTube show. It's called The Geek Soapbox. Check it out on YouTube. You can probably find it linked to my page, or you can find it to Michael E. Ponton's page. I think it's ML Ponton is the actual channel it's on. Check it out. We legit, like our last episode, we filmed for Tabletop Day, and it was us playing Timeline, and I decimate people in it. It's pretty fun.
Apparently, I'll have to check it out.
But I think that the episode before that, we played Mario Party. And the one before that, we were discussing costumes, superhero costumes on TV. Or just what are your favorite superhero costumes in movies or TV. So it's a variety show, but it's pure geek. So definitely check it out. A lot of times we go on location. We filmed a Comic-Con last weekend that we went to. We filmed ourselves doing Tabletop Day, just going around from comic book store to gaming pub. You know, just us playing and meeting people and just having a really good time. So it's something to definitely check out. It's completely different from wrestling, but I think most wrestling fans will dig it. Because like I said, we all are geeky over something. So
definitely.
You can also check me out on social media. I have a Twitter. It's Wrestling Leva. I have an Instagram, also Wrestling Leva. I have a Facebook. It's Leva Bates, official FB page. My profile picture is me as Green Arrow. So I don't know if there's fake ones or not. I think there are, but that's me. If you see that picture, that's me. But yeah, I think those are most of the social medias I do. Does anyone use Google Plus anymore? I don't think so.
No, I think they're shutting it down, aren't they? So.
Oh, really? They are? Because I had one.
I think, yeah, because I have one, but I don't use it.
Exactly. So. Like, I haven't updated mine in forever. Oh, speaking of never updating, I have a website that I am so behind on. I apologize, but it's levabates.com. I run it myself, so bear with me. Like, as you can tell, I have no free time, so I will update it soon. I don't think I've updated in, like, 2 or 3 months. And the thing is, the more I put off on it, the more I'm like, oh, no, it's even more work to work on it. So I keep putting it off more, and it becomes a vicious cycle.
Yeah. What upcoming shows? Have you got any in the next, like, week or so you want to plug?
I don't know. WSU's the 9th, May 9th, so I don't think I have anything before that because of my rehearsal schedule here at Universal. So, I wasn't able to do any bookings because of that. So, but starting May 9th is WSU. I think that's my next show back.
Gotcha. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Leva. Thank you for taking part in this interview.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Stop picking on me because I'm a geek. I'm strange to you. You're strange to me.
Punching odor of a power holder. Sand kickers coming 60 clips upon the sonar. They're gonna fold me over like a trapper keeper folder. If this is D&D, you'd see me jump into a portal. I'm a geek, spell G-double-E-K. I beat my boys in the basement about every day. A card table, comic books, and cans of Coke. But that we know all of our nose that a Star Wars joke. We got style, tape on our glasses, zits on our faces, and hair on our ass, and shiny shoes, belt buckles, and pocket protectors. Streaked out backpacks like my main man Blake. We got problems. Name me the jocks. We used to be suckers with questions and their cocks. Otherwise known as the motherfuckers touching the dick. If I was Wolverine, you'd hear my knuckles go stick. I'm not perfect. The before picture of Peter Parker always tripping. Drop my tray in front of the girl that always sparkles. I got brains. Fuck B's and C's. I got a grade point average higher than Henderson New Year's Eve. What? Risk at dawn, I won, got global dominance, but in the hallway it's calm.